Another day, another Peter Mrazek missed call and no save.
Another day, another event that the Leafs don't win because all eyes are on them and they can't win a big game.
Another game against Buffalo, another loss against Buffalo.
Oh my God. Brutal game on all fronts. Well, all fronts, mostly Mrazek.
Yeah, not on all fronts, but there was, they had good stretches.
Yeah. I think that the biggest takeaway from this game is that Peter Mrazek right now is not even an NHL goaltender. At this point, he is a borderline AHL goaltender. Like, you're kind of drawing that line of, okay, how many starts, if Peter was down with the Marlies, how many starts would he get? And how well would he perform in those starts? That's one thing for me. And it's a very strange, the Peter, I feel like this has kind of been an experiment. The Leafs signed to that deal, yada, yada. But Peter Mrazek was supposed to be Jack Campbell's rock, right? He was supposed to be there for when Jack, you know, just take the load off him to split the starts with him if he's struggling. Like right now, this is the why you signed Mrazek, and he is not showing up whatsoever. He's playing below average goaltending, like not even close to average at this rate. Like, he has an 884 this year so far in 17 games. That's a pretty decent sample size, I'd say. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Pretty decent sample size. And Peter hasn't been there. And it really makes the head office, Dubas and Shanahan, are you thinking, do you change your priority? Do you get a goaltender this off or this trade deadline?
I wouldn't, but just to go back to what you said first, I think he wasn't even, not even just his rock. He was insurance. They didn't know if Campbell was like a fallen starter or if last year was a blip. So he was the backup, like he was the backup policy, and he hasn't even played as a backup goalie. It's just been kind of been a travesty, really. It's just on all fronts, just a horrible signing. Plus, he's a long-term deal. It's not just he's knocking out a one-year deal.
That's the worst part of it. And
don't think you would sign a goalie, because you basically have to just figure out what you're going to do for the next approximately 2 weeks until Campbell gets back. You got to just hold down the fort. I don't know. I don't care who goes in. Mrazek, Schalgren, call up Joseph Woll if you have to. Even the dreaded Michael Hutchinson is fine. It's just, you just got to work with what you got, because you don't have enough assets to get a defenseman and a goalie at the deadline. Yeah. Simply, you barely have enough to get a defenseman.
Well, does it have to? It doesn't have to be the one of the, okay, there's like one big name goalie. We all know who it is. Fleury. Does it have to be? It doesn't have to be that. Maybe it's some insurance with Campbell. It doesn't have to be Fleury.
But right? If you're going to get someone who's not of caliber, is he really going to make that much of an impact? Like, that's, say you thing. Go out and get a Braden Holtby. Is he going to be that much of a difference over Mrazek? Maybe he's just going to make those saves that, like the one in the third period yesterday, that basically killed the Leafs. But I don't know how much of a difference it's actually going to make. You need difference makers. Campbell is a difference maker when he's healthy. It's just, he hasn't been, I don't think he's been healthy much of the year.
No. At this point, I think if you want to roll with Campbell, which you have every right to do so, he's earned that right to try and get out of this funk, because now we know he's hurt, the rib injury. But I think that if you do eye goaltending, you look for someone to replace Mrazek, so at least you get something steady in there when Campbell isn't in there. Or if the rare event, I don't know if in the playoffs, if Campbell's struggling the first 2-3 games, I don't know if you, unless you do trade for someone, obviously you're not going to throw Mrazek in there at this rate. Mm-hmm. Unless he can turn around his season, the Leafs don't get anyone, all of a sudden he's putting up a 9-10, 9-15, he's steady for them, him and Campbell are kind of splitting starts in the way before Campbell takes over the reins in the playoffs. That could happen.
Yeah, hockey is weird. Goalies are weird.
Yeah, especially goalies. Goalies are completely unpredictable. But I found it funny because last night, as soon as the game ended, Pierre LeBrun went on Twitter and he said, I think the Leafs have no choice but to try on Fleury despite not being among his most preferred destinations. This idea could maybe grow on him. Depends on other options presented to Fleury in the next 8 days. And he replied to a Jonas Siegel tweet, and he was saying the lowest save percentages, which I've seen this list before, but it's actually changed quite a bit. Lowest save percentages since January 1st with a minimum of 10 starts. Number one, Jonathan Quick with an 879.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't guess that. Number two, Campbell with an 882. Number three, Nedeljkovic with an 884.
Rip fantasy team.
Number four, Merton Jones with an 884.
Okay.
Number five, John Gillies with an 885.
You played 10 starts, eh?
Yeah, he actually got that many. And number six, Peter Mrazek with an 885.
Both Leafs goalies, very cool.
If you look, I think the only, I heard a stat that the only month of the year that the Leafs got plus 900 goaltending was in November, which is when they went on their big run, right?
Yeah.
That's the only month I think they got like a 940 something.
Well, that's when Campbell was ridiculous. Right? Well, he was actually been ridiculous almost the entire year until the last couple of weeks where I think he was playing injured.
Well, no, ever since January he hasn't been there.
But how do you know when he got injured? It's a rib injury. And I don't think you're supposed to play through those. Those are hard.
So do you think it's an overreaction? LeBron's saying maybe they look at a Fleury trade. Do they shift their priority? Because their priority has been defensemen, right? You get another piece. You got Lyubushkin, but he needs more. Do you shift your focus to a Fleury? He said that asking price would look like a first-round pick or a first-round level prospect. So that would probably be I don't know if Abramov would be in it.
Could be. You'd have to give up something.
Well, no, I don't know if it would be him or like a Nyes.
I wouldn't give a Nyes for a one-year Fleury.
That's the thing. That's what that first-round level prospect would be. So a first-round pick or first-round level prospect, whichever, and maybe a mid-round pick, which is actually cheaper than I thought it would be. I'm not going to lie, because how often do you see a goaltender of this level available at the deadline? Every single deadline asks already juiced.
Yeah.
Especially if you shoot right-handed, that's juiced. But how often does it come in the form of a trade deadline with a goalie this elite, a Hall of Fame caliber goalie, a Vezina winning goalie available at the deadline? So I thought it'd be higher. I'm surprised. But
I think we're still, I know he said there's a chance maybe, like, is Fleury going to come here? I don't think he has no trade clause. Like, yeah. He has a modified one. He can choose where he wants to go.
Yeah. He's already waived with Washington. So, or not waived. Sorry. He's already said no, he did not waive it.
I just don't think he doesn't want to move at all. He'd prefer, like in his mind, ever since the beginning of the season, he said a few weeks ago he wanted to help Chicago make the playoffs. Probably out of the range now.
Well, I think they're
that's what, because he doesn't want to move his family again. That's his thing. He just moved them from Pittsburgh to Vegas. Then he moved them from Vegas to Chicago. He just want to move them from Chicago to wherever else in the middle of the year, or he moves just himself and his family has to stay without him. It doesn't make any sense for him.
How far are they? Oh, okay, they are 20 points out of the last division spot.
They were in range and then they went way off. They just fell off the cliff.
Which is funny because I don't think they've been, like lately at least, I don't think they've been abysmal like compared to their 0-10 start, whatever it was at the beginning of the year. Like they haven't been that bad. But they are, they're, okay. Oh my God, Vegas in the second wild card spot now? Wow.
Yeah, they've lost. I think Leonard got injured, so they've lost a bunch of games.
Yeah, they're 16 points back of Vegas for the last wild card. It's not going to happen, obviously. They're way too far. It is what it is. I don't know how they've been in their last 10. They've probably not been very good in their last 10.
Chicago? No. They score a lot. It's just they can't defend for their life, and Fleury's out to dry. So
if you are willing to, I don't think that's the answer. Okay, obviously getting a goalie like that would very much help you. But I think look at Mrazek. If you pull up his career stats, when he was in Carolina, there for three seasons, he was in Philly the year before in 2017-18. He had an 891.
In Philly.
Awful. Yeah. He goes to Carolina in 2018-19, has a 914.
Carolina does that to a person.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Freddie. 2019-20, he has a 905. Drops off a little bit, but still an average goaltender, right?
Yeah.
Which is what something you wish the Leafs would just give you right now.
What's he at right now?
You're saying this season?
Yeah. I know he's below a 9. An 884. Yeah. Wow.
That is like worse than Michael Hutchinson's stats. Let me pull up just for comparison. Let me pull up Michael Hutchinson's stats because now I'm curious.
Okay, while you do that, just to explain how weird goaltending is. Yesterday in the game, Mrazek was actually playing good. The first period, it was kind of all back and forth. They were getting used to the conditions of playing outside. It was cool, but they even switched sides, I think, or maybe they didn't, but they were like kind of adjusting like the wind. They kept talking about the wind, how it was pushing back a lot, especially in the first. So nobody scored. But he looked good. He stopped, I think, because there was multiple breakaways because guys were still getting used to skating backwards outside, and they kept toe picking and falling. So there's like multiple breakaways on each side.
Yeah, and the third they switched sides because of the wind.
Yeah.
No, in the 10-minute mark they switched.
But the point is, Mrazek looked sharp. He looked good. And in the second period, he looked pretty good too. He still looks a little jumpy, but like I've just accepted that's just how he plays. But there was There was one save. Buffalo came down right in the slot. He absolutely, which the Leafs still got to figure out how to block their slot chances or whatever. He absolutely, like, he glove saved Scorpion, like, stared down Buffalo, and Chris Cuthbert was hyped. And even my dad was like, okay, so he makes this save. And then, like, in the third period, he goes and he lets in the two goals they did. Okay, maybe not. Okay, the second one, I know he probably should have had. He was too deep in his net. But the first one is the one that kills you. It's 2, was it 2-2? Yeah, it was 2-2, and he let in the one from the red line. So you're telling me you can make the big boy glove windmill save, but you can't make the one from the red line in the far left. It's just,
yeah, and I think
timing's weird.
Being in Carolina, you mask a lot of your fundamental, you know what I mean, that issues. Having those fundamentals down and having those, I don't know how to put it into words, but how to have those, the fundamentals of goaltending, having those tendencies down, and Carolina masks a lot of that because instead of making, you're on the lead, you're a Leaf and you have to make 4 or 5 big saves during the game. You're in Carolina. Okay, you make that 1 or 2, right?
But it doesn't make sense. It makes sense, but it doesn't because I don't know if that made any sense, but in Carolina, they're going to limit the high danger chances. So they're just basically telling you, you're not going to get the slot shots that the Leafs give. They're all going to be from the outside. You're going to basically see all of them. It's not going to be very difficult for you. You just make saves. But like the ones he's letting in, like the ones from the red line, that's not that's a shot. Carolina's going to give up that shot too. It's from the outside in the corner on the red line. Got to save that. It has nothing to do with where you're playing.
When you have such a heavier workload, and not in terms of just pure shots, higher chance shots, and you have to make more of those aggressive saves, sometimes
you
mess with your head, right? And it could be a mental thing too. Like, think about it. Mrazek's already a very... Yeah, exactly. Mrazek's a very aggressive goalie who doesn't really have any... No, he's not a very position... He's never... Not very often in position. He usually has to make a save, which otherwise most elite goalies wouldn't have to be in a position to make, right? He makes his saves look more difficult sometimes than they actually have to be. But if you look in Carolina, so he had in his 3 years, he had a 914, a 905, and a 923. A 923, although the 923 was in 12 games and the other two were in 40 starts each.
It was
40 games.
That's the other thing. Keeps getting injured too.
Yeah, and he got hurt that year. Yeah, but now he's been healthy. But
I'm starting to question not the signing.
It was supposed to $3.5 million. That's money that will not go to Campbell, unless somehow they can get it off the books by some miracle. But I don't know who's going to take all that money with that term. No idea.
Someone will take him. There's always someone who needs a goalie. Just desperation.
NHL GMs are always like, if I'm Kyle Dubas, I know he said he doesn't want to worry about his goalie issues during the season, it's an off-season thing. But if I'm Kyle Dubas, I am calling Ken Holland. I'm ringing his phone off the hook.
Why?
You take Duncan Keith. Why wouldn't you take a $3.5 million cap at a Peter Mrazek? You try him out. You see how it works. Maybe you can get a bargain. You wouldn't have to pay a lot. You'd pay more just taking on the contract than getting the actual player, right?
Wait, you want Duncan Keith?
No. Peter Mrazek. I'm saying call Ken Holland.
Oh, to give him. Okay, got you.
Give him Peter Mrazek, right? I think that's the first guy you call. You're willing to take on Duncan Keith's full 5 whatever cap hit for the next 2 seasons.
Who knows what they'll do? Yeah.
Ken Holland's unpredictable. Do it.
No, there's always someone who needs a goalie. You can call Chicago in the offseason. Fleury's gonna walk.
NHL GMs aren't the most forward thinking. Let's make good moves for our franchise kind of guys.
Some of them are, but it's a tough job and they make bad decisions sometimes. And that's, we get to make fun of them.
Yeah. But I think you call Ken Holland. Ken Holland's willing to do one thing. Why wouldn't he would do the other? And I think that you have to pay. It would mostly be Ken Holland could see it as, they're going to have to pay us to take on this contract. So we're going to get something out of it here in this possible deal, because he's playing so bad. Maybe it's just change of scenery. You don't do well under that spotlight. You know what I mean? Although the Oilers defense is
even worse. I would make a good bet that Mrazek wouldn't do much better in Edmonton.
No, not at all. But who knows what's going on in Ken Holland's head? He's Ken Holland. I just look at his last 10 years of of moves, transactions in general. Like, they haven't been good.
I just don't think they can afford it.
Well, I think they had a, I don't know. I think they got a lot of money go off the books, but then they signed Nuge, right? They re-signed him.
Yeah, I'm looking at their cap. It could be friendly.
Hey, there's always a way of getting double retention, so you can. That's how Giroux's going to get moved, unless he goes to the Avs now, because now Landeskog's hurt. That's the only way Giroux's going to get moved, right?
Yeah,
that's the only way. Unless Landeskog stays on goes on LTIR, stays on there, and which they're probably going to do. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
that's the smart move. So does Edmonton have space?
Right now. No. I swear they don't have any UFA. This is 2021, 2022, the end of the year. So I swear they have no UFAs. What?
Let's ask NHL GM. Let's not
look. I guess I have to look at next year. I see.
Just look. No, look at this year. Just see if they have the cap this year to do it. Go up.
Oh man. To the top. Much.
No, like go up to, because it'll say.
Oh, I see. Projected cap hit. They have 88. Or 88.
Ooh, because they have
some. They're already over.
Oh yeah, because they wouldn't take them. It's just an idea, just because it's Ken Holland and you take advantage of Ken Holland.
Oh, they got to re-sign Kane. Yamamoto's an RFA too.
Is Kane going to re-sign?
Okay, but they got to get somebody to replace him something.
Yeah, but I don't know if they'll re-sign him.
They're cap-friendly, so funny. Oh, okay, here. Nuge is on IR, that's why. That's why they're half on cost. That's how they're over.
I mean, he's been good lately, but like...
No, again, they're cap-friendly, so funny.
That Mike Smith contract looks so bad.
I love this.
Okay. You should honestly help them out, buddy. Don't ruin. You had a great year last year. Just retire. Ooh. Enjoy yourself. And then they can just throw him on LTIR. Say he's injured. He's been hurt a lot this year anyways. Throw him on LTIR. You help out.
Yeah, like $2 million cap
space. Even though he gave you an awful contract, you help him out because he helped you out and give you 2.2 over 2 years as a 40-year-old. Mm-hmm. Help him out. Throw some LTIR space. Well, and Koskinen's off the books. You go get yourself a goaltender.
That's the key. Koskinen's off the books, which is absolutely a blessing for them.
Yeah. Four and a half
gone. Huge. Mike Smith on IR, another two. That's you have maybe $6.7 million.
Maybe that's money you use for Evander Kane. I think you'd want around four.
Oh, then you have no goalie. This year,
you're five. You'd probably want five, actually, Evander Kane. Yeah. Then you have no goalie, but you could also you can make something happen. Are there even any goalies in free agency this offseason?
No, that's the thing about last year's offseason. A lot of the goalies went all over the place. Or maybe it was 2 years ago. Okay, anyways. But recently, goalies have been moving all over the place. So, therefore, a lot of guys are on long-term deals now.
You could go after Fleury, but Fleury probably
another old retire. Goalie? I feel like you're just getting another Mike Smith situation. Yeah, just a little bit younger.
But it's not Mike Smith, though.
Okay, true.
And he wouldn't want $8 million, I don't think.
Yeah, but Fleury just showed this year.
He can't. He'd probably want more term than he would cap. Hit or per, right?
But Fleury just showed this year he can't necessarily cover up for even a bad defense, especially in Chicago. Okay, even the defense.
He started off a little rough, but
he's having a good year. It's just he's not getting wins. And Edmonton wants wins. And if they have even if their defense is slightly better than Chicago's, they're not going to result in much.
The Blackhawks don't have the same goal support that they can give, that Edmonton can give Fleury.
Well, that is true.
There's that too. They're an overall bad team. That's not on Fleury. He has a 908 this year.
Edmonton's cap friendly just continues to get worse. Jesse Puljujärvi is an RFA, so they're gonna have to re-sign him. And so is Yamamoto.
God. I think that even for Fleury right now,
and Bouchard,
competitive guy. I mean, when you win three cups and you're part of that Pittsburgh dynasty, and then you go to Vegas, a franchise that's known nothing but winning.
Yeah, right? Because of him though, he started that culture.
Mm. So I think that if you go somewhere where you can contend, it kind of kicks you into another gear, you know?
That's maybe. Thing. But just based on what he said Kemper's summer.
Kemper's a free agent? Who? Kemper.
Darcy, eh?
I didn't know that.
Sounds like they should just throw all this out the window and just trade for Carey Price just for humorous reasons.
Oh, my. that cap hit.
Yeah, it's
not. It would be the funniest thing if they took that full cap hit and Montreal retained nothing.
Well, I don't even know if he wants to leave necessarily. It's just
who? Price?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he wants to leave, but they're not moving that deal anyways. That's a whole other story. But that won't be moved. I don't think so.
Okay, interesting. Edmonton actually has, just to go back, they have Clefbaum on IR. I totally forgot. Long-term IR.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, he might come back.
it'll help their defense a little bit. But then I don't know how the afford thing works. Because they have Duncan Keith next year too. Yeah.
That full 5 point, what's it? 5.538.
Yep. And then Barry's also at 4.5, who's only for the power play. And then CC's
four and a half for Barry's not that bad, but like
he's barely
contributes power play. On one side.
And he's only played the power play like half the year. Bouchard and Nurse have taken over at times.
No. Barry was playing majority of the year. Then he got hurt like 2-3 weeks ago, but he came back and he went. And when because Bouchard went on when he got hurt a few weeks ago. And then when Barry came back, they kept Bouchard on for like 3 games, 4 games.
Yeah.
And then Barry's been back on ever since. Although he did get hurt last week, but he went right back. As soon as he came back, he's back.
Most importantly, the Leafs power play is better than Edmonton's this year. And that makes me laugh.
Yeah. Who would have thought that?
Me. I trust Spencer Carberry. Obviously, I knew he was going to make an incredible power play coach.
Oh my, we'll see if that comes around playoff time, if they can keep that up.
There is one thing that I didn't know was going to happen. When they moved Malhotra from power play to penalty kill, that made sense. Because Malhotra was a career third liner penalty killer. That was his role. So obviously he knows how to penalty kill. And that's why the Leafs penalty kill is amazing this year. But it didn't make any sense to have... Okay, I guess in theory it made sense. Like their goal was he knows how to penalty kill. So in theory he should know how to do the power play because he knows exactly what penalty killers are going to do. But I guess that's not how it works.
How much of that has been masked, though, by I just lost my train of thought. Oh my god!
by Mitch Marner scoring on the power play.
No, David Camp. Sorry, the David Camp side.
Oh, well, yes, that has helped tremendously because they didn't have a center to do those faceoffs. Spezza used to come out there last year, take the draw, and go back sit down.
Mm-hmm. And Kerfoot was your first unit centerman on the penalty kill. That wasn't his natural position. He did a good job, but. He's still on there, but it's not his primary.
They have more penalty killers this year.
Job.
It's not just like there's four guys. It's Kemp and Marner. There's Kerfoot, Mikheyev, Engvall. Spezza does it sometimes. Even Nylander's taking some shifts. Mm-hmm. It's more diverse now.
Weird. That still seems weird to me.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's not like a direct killer. He'll come on more near the end of the last 30 seconds.
No, it's not weird. Like, it's just weird. Like visually, just seeing.
Oh yeah,
it's weird. Scoreboard seeing a penalty on the scoreboard and then see William Nylander calling the ice.
It's weird if you think like Babcock era, but then you never would have saw that ever.
He was not trusted at all in late games, nothing. It's shown how much he's grown as a player, right?
Yeah.
He's not the most reliable defensive forward, but he'll do more work than definitely more work than he has the last however long of the last
three, four years. He had a tough outdoor game.
Yeah. Well,
just the one goal where he kind of like stumbled and he got beat. And then the empty netter, he went to keep the puck in and like he went to like swing it around and keep it in and he missed. And then the guy had an empty net, but what are you going to do? It's just.
Yeah. And I think the main thing is for an outdoor game, different conditions, as much as you think, well, it's a rink, it's 200.
You can't put too much.
You can't put, yeah, exactly. You can't overreact from an outdoor game. I mean, would have been nice to beat one of the worst teams in the league. Of course it would have been in a high event game where I guess only Canada's watching. Cause I don't know. Cause I know here they weren't really talking about the Nashville Winnipeg game that much or Winnipeg. Oh my gosh. The Nashville Tampa game stadium series game. So I'm sure down there, it wasn't promoted very much. Heritage Classic wasn't promoted very much. So up here, you got the whole country watching. It would have been nice, but you can't like, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's
you're playing
in different conditions. Guys are way colder than they usually are. You got wind blowing in your face. The ice conditions are not the same as they will be inside an arena, right? It's something you kind of have to not
over. Take a grain of salt.
Yeah, you can't blow it out of proportion.
Yeah,
right.
I thought it was cool when they were. I was listening to one of like it was a 1 minute mic'd up segment of like some of the Leafs or a couple of them were mic'd up during the game, and Justin Hall was talking to the ref, and he's like, "I've played in two of these." Oh, sorry, maybe he's talking Keefe. I think he was talking Keefe. And he said he played in two of those. That was cool because I remember that he played in the University of Minnesota for a couple of years. That's how he would have played.
I was about to say, Centennial Classic? Oh, no, he was buried in the AHL somewhere.
Buried in the ECHL.
He was in the ECHL at the time?
That's where he started. I don't know if he was there during the Centennial Classic, though.
Now I need to know this.
Oh, man. Justin Hall has been through some stuff. He's fought his way in.
Yeah, you can't say Babcock at that point. It's too early. What was that? That was 2015-16, no? Yeah,
it was Centennial.
2014-15 was disaster. Last place tank year.
Pain.
15, 16, he was in the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I was going to throw a little jab at Babcock, but I can't.
Oh, man. That okay, here, I got it. Babcock did indeed bench.
He was there.
Babcock did indeed bench up for 72 games straight, so there's your job.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was the year before that, or 2 years before that. Because he spent 3 years with the Marlies. Like, the first year was that rookie breakout year, make playoffs. Then the next 2 years after that.
Okay, yeah. let's flip to a guy who didn't really have to do any of that. Just kind of came in.
Oh, his former team, the team that beat our Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday.
And Vegas.
And Vegas. So Jack Eichel didn't get the warmest reception on Saturday. it was last Thursday.
No, it was Thursday, yeah.
Wait, was it Thursday? It was Thursday. Didn't get the warmest reception. First game back from or returning to Buffalo. And he got a mix of receptions. There was
and they were pretty there were some people clapping, but there's also some people booing.
Well, what I heard they did with the tribute was that it was more of a not a organization thanks to. It's everyone you've helped in this community. I think he worked with the hospitals and probably with children's hospitals, I assume. That's just one thing that players tend to, or something they focus on. It's a thank you, little tribute. They are saying thank you. I think they had some representatives from those organizations. Just as, thank you for everything you did here. Not in a pure hockey organizational, the organization thanks you because the organization treated him like garbage.
Yeah.
But it was a nice little thing. And I hope they didn't boo when that specifically came on because that's a little harsh bad.
From what I saw, they showed like a couple of his highlights and it was like mixed. And then they transitioned to like the community stuff you're talking about. And then it was pretty much, it was pretty good when that happened. There wasn't too many boos during, what are they going to boo him for helping the community?
Yeah. So my question is to Buffalo Sabres fans who did boo, why are you booing at Jack Eichel? And why are you not booing at the guys in the press box? It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well,
if you're going to boo at a guy, if you're going to boo at
different people though.
No, I'm saying the Pagulas.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, you meant the owners. Okay, I thought you meant like GMs.
I don't know how much control was Kevin Adams had. Because Kevin Adams and what he's done, it seems like he doesn't necessarily call all the shots as a GM. I think the owners have too much say, and that's when an organization kind of takes a turn.
Yeah.
Kind of stay, you own the team, stay out of the fundamentals of the team. You worry about
you don't run it.
Exactly. Why are you hiring me? Why are you hiring me? If you really think you can run a team and assemble a successful contending team, why did you hire me? You do it yourself. You can save some money. Yeah. Why? What's the point? And I think Kevin Adams, other than the Taylor Hall trade,
he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, he's done fine. I mean, there's not much there right now. He just started.
Well, so just to review,
to say.
It's kind of funny. All the people, the main people who came back in the Eichel trade were Alex Tuch, who scored against Vegas, and then Peyton Krebs, the rookie, who's actually starting to have a really good year, like kind of underrated. He kind of destroyed the Leafs too. I think he's playing the line with him, Cousins, and I want to say Vinny Hinostroza, and they're having a really good year. It's just kind of an underrated thing. And they scored against Vegas too. So this is a horrible night for Eichel. And yeah. I know we automatically start talking about the way Eichel's tenure went and the way the owners kind of like just ruined the franchise while he was there and didn't give him much of anything. But Kipper and like Nick Kiprios and Justin Bourne were talking about Eichel. Did you hear his comments after the game?
That's the quote I was going to read. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, read it.
Yeah, he said, that's the loudest I heard this place ever. It only took 7 years and me leaving for them to get into it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if I'm Jack Eichel and you're booed, how to all those fans that booed him, what if you went to a doctor? Okay, let's say you were at work and you had a workplace injury, right? Let's say, I don't know, some kind of, we'll say neck just for the sake of making the comparison really like exactly the same. Let's say you get some kind of neck injury at work. I don't know, you're in construction or you're in an office, you slip down the stairs, whatever it is. And someone tells you, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, you can do two options. We can fuse your plates together, or we can do this newer surgery, which has proved to be pretty successful, but it's never been done. Okay, this doesn't really work with this analogy, but something that you've never, or that a someone your age, let's say, I don't know, yeah. I'm just to compare, has never done. And we don't know if it'll affect your career. Your boss comes up to you and says, yeah, no, you're not allowed to do that. You could say, hey, it's my health. What do you mean I'm not allowed to do? It's my body. This is what I want to do. It's the betterment of my health. And your boss says, no, you're not allowed to. It's when you signed on with us, not allowed to.
Yeah.
We have control of your body.
That's the weird thing. That's one of the weird NHL CBA rules that I think they have to change.
Yeah. And okay, whatever. You're looking like it was there to look out for the betterment of the players and to ensure yourself because you're signing a contract with this player. But you cannot, like, you can't get mad at the guy. He already wanted to leave, but he was not full on board for leaving yet. He was like, if I can go, I'll go because you guys are a tire fire.
Yeah.
But I'll try to make it work a little bit. As soon as that happened, everything was off the board. That's it. I'm gone.
Yeah. It's
so how do you boo a guy like that?
Come back from that.
Go boo the Pegulas. It's their fault. You lost your franchise player. Whose fault is it?
Not what they were talking. Well, what they were talking about.
Partly his, but not.
For it's not, not his fault. He played good while he was there. Hockey's not a one man game. But the thing Kipper and Bourne were talking about was he immature in what he said? Because I'm not sure if I agree with them. I was just thought it was interesting because basically what they were saying was that he's always kind of been this immature guy, and that's the way the Buffalo culture was established there. And so basically, and that's how he acted here. They were saying he acted immaturely toward the fans, and it's not necessarily the fans' fault. It's the Pegula's fault. So why is he clapping back at the fans for they're booing the team. They're booing him. It's just the way it is.
I think that he probably took it personally, which I mean, when you're calling and when every time you touch the puck and you're booing, you got to take that like that's intended towards you. So I think that, hey, if you want to tussle, get ready to get a return punch, so to say, like get ready to be punched back because I don't feel bad for, I feel bad for the fans that didn't. That's who I feel bad for.
Yeah.
And the ones who booed, why don't you get mad at the front office, the Pegulas as well? Because they're so invested in this team. They're so involved in this team and what they do. Why didn't you put anything around him?
Yeah. He had Taylor Hall.
Yeah. That one half a season
was a disaster. And that was the best thing he had.
Mm-hmm. But you don't put anything else around him. So how are you going to get mad at him? He put up his production. He did what he had to do. He was that franchise centerman.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I find interesting is if you're someone like Rasmus Dahlin, who's standing there, who's maybe on the bench, whatever, whenever the boost came out, what do you think when you see this guy getting booed and you've been there for how many years and you knew he probably was a hardworking guy who really dedicated himself to the city and tried to really, you know, invest in a winning culture. And you're thinking in your head, well, if they're booing Jack, you know, what's going to happen with me? What if I won up?
Yeah, it's been tough.
A disaster. Like the fans are getting mad at him. How mad if it happens, if I request a trade out, how mad are they going to be at me? But I'm sure that if you're gone, you're gone. I'm sure Jack doesn't really care anymore, but you know what I mean? Like you look at your fans and you're like, you're booing him. Like he was a good guy who wanted to win here. And the manager, he might not think the manager messed it up. I mean, that's what it appears to be. You know what I mean? Like someone on the ice who was in that locker room.
It's a horrible situation.
Yeah, it's just bad.
Buffalo's Darlene's probably has mixed feelings about it. Owen Power is going to come in there next year. And it seems like they're trying to turn a corner. They got a coach now in Granato. Kevin Adams is doing his best to work with what he has and rebuild. Krebs looks good. Tuck wants to be in Buffalo, and you don't get many players like that. So.
Yeah, it's just good. A bad situation.
They're on the way up.
Yeah. So that'll be it for this week.
And again, see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.